from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world, at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast there, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Check out their auctions every Wednesday night at notjustguns.com. Our friends at Conquest Sense, makers of VS1 and Evercalm, will be joining us. Doug Roberts will be joining us here in a little bit, talking about the forecast for antler growth this year. Also, Gene Skiba from the United Deer Farmers of Michigan will be joining us as well. And we want to start out this show offering our heartfelt condolences for everybody in the Sanford, the Midland area, everybody affected by floodwaters that have taken over their towns and literally put them underwater. And not in a good way, with all the rains and stuff, the damaging rains we've had over the past few days. And, of course, seeing some aerial footage of those areas affected, especially with some friends of ours in Sanford and Midland. We are thinking of you guys. If there's anything we can do, don't know what that could possibly be, but if there's anything we can do, hit us up on the website, call my cell number. It's on there, and we will do what we can to get the word out or whatever we need to do. So please keep us in mind for that. Got to get right into it. Up in the Keweenaw, the only place unaffected by the COVID-19, the last bastion of sanity left on this earth, is where we find Mark Martin, pro angler and freshwater fishing Hall of Famer. Mark, how are you, sir? How are you plugged in but not plugged in?
Yeah. I'm just, glad to be up here. It's a peaceful, beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky. Getting ready to go. Haven't decided yet if I'm going to go deep water jigging for lake trout or casting a shoreline for splake or go back and catch a bunch of walleye and a northern pike. What a dilemma.
Yeah, the problems of Mark Martin.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah, I'm blessed.
Right. You know, it's funny. My wife and I went down to Shipshewana, Indiana, this week, and things very different down there, being run very differently. Of course, you know, we're cautious, as we should be, but to go in, Mark, to a sit-down restaurant, have a meal, be waited on, was amazing. It was like almost new again. And, and it's just, it's kind of like you. What do? Do we go to this restaurant? Do we go to this one? We have options.
Great. You got options. And then tomorrow they're opening up the restaurants up here too.
So, yeah, it's great. And, you know, and whatever you do, I'm not going to go anywhere near where I was just going to go. But,
we'll go off on a whole different subject.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mark won't get a chance to talk this time. But no, I mean, just exercise caution, whatever it is you're doing. You know, live your life as a free American. Just exercise a little extra caution to keep everybody safe. There, I've done my part.
But, there you go.
But the fishing, the walleye fishing in most of the state has been good, with the exception of where what was 12 to 14 feet of water is now 35 feet of water. Fishing not exactly on our mind right now.
Yeah, I my friends from down there, because I am getting ready at the end of June, first part of July, to do my first open water school in Michigan in quite a few years. And so I have my pro staff calling me from that area, just, you know, telling me about the devastation down there. And the fishing was great, well, kind of, you know, great up until this happened. And once it resides, I'm sure it'll get back to normal fishing of greatness. And hopefully when the water resides here for Midland and the surrounding area, they can get back. And it's going to be a while from the pictures I see. I feel sorry for, you know, my friends in that area. They took it hard, and looks like there is no more Wixom Lake, probably.
Yeah, that's kind of odd. I mean, I know that happened to Rainbow Lake down just north of St. John's at one time. You got a three-mile lake. It was man-made. Dam, you know, bursts. So goes the lake. Gone. Right. Bye-bye.
Right. Exactly. You know, I was kind of, wow. You know, I mean, things can happen. My buddy on the Muskegon River, he is worried. He called me, and he says that river is right. He could tie a boat up off of his deck at his house. Yeah. Said, I hope it don't come up. And he didn't call me back, so I hope it didn't go up further. But every place down there, just, you know, Midland probably got, one of the worst ones in that general area. But everybody down there wasn't immune to some type of flooding somewhere of some kind.
Exactly.
You guys got a lot of rain in such a short period, that's for sure.
Yeah, we did. I mean, even the Lansing area near where I live, we got hammered pretty good. And, you know, it's just, but like my wife said, you know, a little flooding in the basement is nothing compared to watching your car upside down in the middle of downtown. You know what I mean?
No kidding.
We don't, we've said our prayers and given thanks for our blessings and, moving forward, man, we're very happy to have you on the show here. The fishing vacation school, the open water school, is going to be taking place, like you said, coming up here. Now, where are you guys going to be?
We're going to be the first day on Sunday. We're going to be it's on the 28th of June, right out of Linwood Beach, and start it right there. And we're going to, alternate between the river and the lake, depending on the weather. We don't want to take people out. We're going to be in their own boats. So,
sure.
I mean, we're not going to have our boats. We're going to start right in their boat, and we're going to look at them on Sunday afternoon, make sure the transducers are right so we can see the fish, and we want to make sure they can too. And the presentations are a lot easier to do when you can focus on seeing everything. And then we're going to teach them about GPS, teach them about bottom bounce, and teach them about snap jig, and teach them everything you can imagine in walleye fishing. We're going to have from Monday bright and early to Wednesday at noon. It's nothing but solid walleye teaching in their own boats, every technique known to walleye. And because I'm Saginaw system, it's just full of walleye, so it's something that you can do and be successful at. So when they get out done with the school, and 15 years ago was the last time I did one over there, and I remember that. What reminds me of it puts it in the forefront of my mind is when we got done doing that school, I had two guys in the same boat. And they, were really wanting to learn really, really bad. And we taught them. And when we got done, I didn't realize they're going to fish a Saginaw Bay walleye tournament event. We ended on Wednesday. They started fishing on Saturday. And because they knew where the fish were and knew how to work all the technique, they ended up getting fifth place. Now, we were proud.
Absolutely. And the thing is, too, Mark, when you're teaching somebody on their own equipment in a familiar environment, I really think that will have a tendency to stay with somebody longer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can go for a guide trip, but you're on their boat, and they're handing maybe you a rod, or they're not letting you set the lines. They're not letting you drive the boat. They're not, we don't set the lines. We don't drive the boat. We're just, making sure they're setting it right. We're making sure they got the right speed. We make sure they're headed in the right direction and show what they're actually fishing, and now they're in control. Mm-hmm. We're kind of in control, but I think that's the best way to teach.
Absolutely. Mark Martin is our guest here. MarkMartins.net is where you can find him. We're going to do a whole other segment with Mark here in just a couple of minutes, so Mark, hang on, please. Want to find out what else is coming up on the Open Water School here at the end of June on the 28th. You can find all that information out on his website and find a link to Mark on ours at wildmichiganradio.com.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Great Lakes State, being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense. Find them online, conquestsense.com. A little bit later, we'll talk to Doug Roberts because it is fawn season. They're fawns being born all over the place. If you see them in the wild, leave them in the wild because mom is not far. If they seem to be in some sort of peril or maybe caught up in a fence or something, do what you can to help them. But again, with minimal contact, if you would please. But it's that season. We'll be talking with Gene Skiba as well as Doug Roberts about what's going on with fawns and deer in Michigan. And right now we're talking fishing with walleye pro Mark Martin, our good friend. MarkMartins.net is where you can find all the information. Maybe you want to book Mark for an event. You can do so there. He is up in the Keweenaw Peninsula, up in the UP, away from the world, so to speak, but getting ready to come back on June 28th for your open water school. Mark, we talked briefly about, setting these people up, your students up in their own boat, and about how I think it's important to have that hands-on training with your own equipment. Because, look, man, I'm one of these guys. I can read about it. That doesn't help. I can maybe watch a video. That kind of helps. But unless I'm physically doing it myself on something I'm familiar with, that's probably the only way I can really learn.
That over doing it this, I know we've been doing it for 30 years, these ice fishing schools and open water schools, and we're, physically working with everybody. And I think the first open water school that I did was with Gary Roach and Al Linder, and we were up on Lake Winnebagoche in Minnesota, and you could see the improvement of these people, and it gives you a real good feeling, I'll tell you, to see somebody go from not even knowing some of the termination that what they're doing, of the methods they're using, to being able to put it together by just paying attention and doing it themselves, and then put it to work and watch them catch fish doing it. It's like a little kid, it makes me, brings me back to being a little kid almost, and watching these people use these methods and catch fish, and they're so excited that, wow, I got one using lead core. I always wanted to, or bottom bouncer, or snap jigging with jigging rapalas, and I mean, that's kind of new, and people don't understand that. And last year on Green Bay, we brought people out, and that was probably one of the things that the guys really got excited of. They were using shiver minnows and jigging rapalas and snap wraps and ripping wraps, and we were all catching them on the reefs and around the reefs, and it was something that they didn't even think they could master. And once we set them up, they mastered it.
And that's just it, Mark. Mark Martin is our guest here on Wild Michigan. When you teach somebody a new skill or teach them how to better find the fish or maybe switch things up to better go at the fish that are already there, the fish that you can see marked but aren't getting to bite, to change your tactics to be more successful, that's going to take, buying that boat, paying for it, 9 months out of the or 12 months out of the year, but only using it 2.5, it's going to make it that much more enjoyable.
Oh, you got that right, Duran. They're going to get the money out of that boat that they and they're going to get the fun out of that boat that they always dreamed of, And yeah, it's going to cost them $795 a person, but that's from Sunday afternoon to Wednesday afternoon. And it's intense, and they're not just learning from one person of me. They're learning from two other professionals that I have helping me, and they're learning from each other, because when you put, I think we got, I'm limited to 12 boats, so they learn from each and every one that's out there, because at night we have a roundtable discussion of what did Johnny Joe do and Susie and mm-hmm. and Dave and Jack, and, you know, they all stand up and tell what they did and what was their favorite method today and how they worked it and what lures they were using, where they were fishing. So, I mean, for you to go to a launch ramp and talk to everybody that came in and get an honest goodness discussion of what they did, they're not going to tell you. But here, everybody's on the same playing field. Mm-hmm. They're all excited to tell each other because they want to brag. You know,
right.
You know, they want to tell everybody what they did and how they did, because everybody's fishing. Nobody's out of sight of anybody, but they want to let everybody know how many they caught and how they caught them. So we learn from them, too, because they may be doing something other than, you know, we told them how to do it. And they put something else out there, you know, and said, oh, yeah, I decided to do this on the end of my line. Oh, cool. You know, so it's not just a one-way street of them learning from us.
Right.
They're teaching the rest of everybody, including us. And for me to say, oh, you know, I know everything, that's a bunch of you know what. I learn every day I go out, whether it's here up in the Keweenaw or whether I'm teaching a school or I'm in a tournament or I got an outdoor raider event going on. You better be able to learn something when you go out every day. You never grow otherwise in the fishing industry.
Absolutely. Mark Martin is our guest. His website, markmartins.net. And Mark, and I don't want to scare any potential clients away that might have a marina that wants to advertise on our show. But as a boat owner, when you think about how much you're paying for that boat, okay, whether it's a monthly payment, how much you put into that boat, your equipment and everything else, okay, the insurance on your boat, the insurance on your gear, and you divide that by how many times you go out in the course of a year, that might scare the hell out of you. But, but if you're getting a maximum amount of enjoyment out of your investment, that takes those numbers and just depletes them, because it all is worth it by that time.
Yeah, they're not ever going to go away from that dock. In fact, they're going to start at their house, and they're going to be geeked up from the time they hook that to their tongue of their trailer hitch until they're done fishing, because they're going to know what they're doing. They're going to know where they're going to go. They're going to understand the techniques. They're going to go and look at each other and go, I wonder if we're doing this right, George.
Right.
You know, that thought is never going to come into these people that take this class mind again, whether it's the open water or ice school. They don't have them thoughts anymore, because if they think that, they just go on to a different method. If the fish don't bite that method, they go on to another method.
Right.
They know every time they pull the rabbit out of the hat, they know what to do with that rabbit, you know. So it's not like, how do I use this? How do I use that? There's not going to be any of that when they leave the school.
Absolutely. Mark Martin, our guest here, markmartins.net. Another fishing school, open water school coming up. Of course, you do the hard water school. And, man, as always, we appreciate your time with us here, and it always goes by so fast. And I know we don't divulge any of the secrets or even some of the techniques that are happening, but we always have a great conversation, man, and I appreciate you for that.
Oh, definitely. Love talking with you and all of your fans there. So hopefully we'll see you and your fans on the water someplace sometime. And keep calling back, and I'll keep feeding information.
All right, man. Mark Martin joining us here. We're going to come back with Gene Skiba, United Deer Farmers of Michigan. He's got his own farm, and, well, it's producing babies right now. We'll talk more about that here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to Pro Angler and Freshwater Fishing Hall of Famer Mark Martin for joining us here, getting ready for the Open Water Vacation School coming up on June 28th. MarkMartins.net is where you can find him. And we are being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. And look for their Wednesday night auctions and all the great deals they have on their website, notjustguns.com. And we're going to welcome a first-timer to the show, a gentleman I had the pleasure of meeting at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan event here just before everything went weird. In 2020, and it still continues to go. Gene Skiba from the Hunter's Haven Whitetail Ranch joins us right now. Gene, how are you, sir?
Wonderful, Duran. Wonderful. Great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. We had the, like I said, the pleasure of meeting you at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan event. You're like a probably one of the busiest guys I know because you've got Hunter's Haven Whitetail Ranch, and it is baby time.
Yes, absolutely. It's an exciting time, Duran. We have about 125 babies due. All of our fawns will start dropping a week ago. We had their first one last Thursday. And as of this morning, I think we're picked up 15 and 16 this morning. So it's exciting. It's like Christmas every day, Duran, when you go out in the pen. Early this morning, and the fresh little baby laying there in the sunshine, and the mama's taking care of it, and it's an exciting time to be a deer farmer.
It is. And now there are several ways that you go about. You have your insemination process, you have the natural process. Explain to people who, and I'm going to be honest with you, because with some people, this is a weird subject for them, and I wanted to bring the best possible light to this, because we've worked with Doug Roberts and Karen for so long at Conquest Sense. Now we're bringing you guys in here, and I want to dispel any kind of myths and rumors and things like that the deer farmers have cast upon them from people who don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, number one, there's two classifications in the Become a Deer Farmer, and we happen to have both. We have a breed facility. My son and I, Trent, he and his family live on property, and we have a breed facility that has about 40 acres, and we breed animals and buy and sell different types of animals. And we do natural breeding, and then we also do, and natural breeding is where you put a buck in the pen with does. And in the fall, when they do come into the rut and they breed, and we have babies about 199 days later. But we also are able to do laparoscopic artificial insemination. And this is quite frequently used in cattle and different industries. But it's an exciting thing because you get to buy different straws of semen from different bucks around the country, which are totally legal to import and cross state lines and things. So what you do is it's all based on pedigree and also genetics. So if we are trying to grow a specific, let's just say, natural 8-point or 10-point, a typical buck that we want, and we're breeding, our facility breeds for our own ranch. So Hunter's Haven Whitetail Ranch, we have a 500-acre preserve that we do offer hunts in the fall. Starting in August, we do velvet hunts. We will choose different types of pedigree of deer and artificially inseminate them. And it's done just exactly like cattle are done. It's a very safe, secure. We use a veterinary who is a deer farmer, Dr. Jay Skiderman, who's a member of the United Michigan Deer Farmers. And he's located out of Presque Isle. He owns Presque Isle Whitetails. And he had a practice in Roger City. He assists us in the actual insemination, and the process is quite intricate in the fact that what you're doing with the doe is you're controlling her cycle and prepping her to be able to breed. So in the wild, and when free-ranging deer, they naturally have different cycles, and the buck will chase and breed, and he'll do it. But we control the breeding process, and it's quite interesting. It's simple, and it's not harmful. These deer are taken care of immensely well. They get treated very, very well. And we artificially inseminated about 35 bucks on November 13th. We try to run the same cycle as the wild deer do. That's basically when all the animals come into Estes, and we do the breeding at that time. And then about 15th of May to the 20th of May, we start having babies. And we are controlled by the Department of Ag through the state of Michigan, through the DNR. All of our animals are blood tested and tagged and secured and inventoried, and we do a lot of testing. But it's so exciting to grow an animal, pick up a baby fawn today. This morning I was lucky enough to go out in the pen and picked up a buck and a doe, a little baby. We tag them. We leave them with mom. Sometimes we let the animal stay with the mother, and sometimes we will bring them in and bottle feed. We bottle feed approximately 35 or 40 babies a year, and we do that strictly, Duran, so that we have control, and the animal's a calmer animal, and it's safer to control, safer to move in and out of different pens and different breeding styles.
Gene Skiba from Hunter's Haven Whitetail Ranch joining us here, also a board member of the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, vice president, if I'm correct. Gene, this is really new to the show for us to talk about it, to talk with somebody that has, I mean, aside from Doug, that has the ranch as you do, because you are raising them. Also, you have a hunting portion on your ranch. And I want to talk about does and fawns, because as we have learned, sometimes a doe will just look at a fawn and go, eh, I don't like you. And that's it. I mean, that's kind of a weird, to us it seems weird, because we're emotionally attached to things.
Yes, it is interesting, and luckily for us, we have a lot of surrogate does. The reason we bottle feed, and we spoke about that a little bit, is because we can go in and actually, you know, pet our deer and talk to them and watch them give birth. And a lot of surrogates, some of our tame bottle-fed does, if a first-time mom has the fawn and she really doesn't know what to do and she doesn't like it or she's just, you know, freaked out about it, these surrogate other does step right in, take over. They'll let the fawn nurse, and they'll take care of it like it's their own. In the wild, I'm sure that happens too, but we don't see it. There is some predation you got to worry about.
Sure.
You got to watch that. And, of course, we lose some fawns. Just some are stillborn, and some just don't make it. And in the wild, you know, we don't see that. They're
right.
Consumed by predators and different things, so we don't really know how many survive. But in our survival, we do a tremendous job for the animal and give it the best health and the best care. But a lot of surrogate moms, it's interesting to watch some of our old does. We have an old doe that's named, her name is Volt, and she had babies yesterday, and she's taken care of three other babies already.
Wow.
So it's a cool thing. Mother Nature steps in and lets that happen.
It is. Gene Skiba is our guest here on Wild Michigan Hunter's Haven Whitetail Ranch. And Gene, I got to tell you, to hear the excitement in your voice, especially around this time of year, it's awesome, because it's so genuine, first and foremost, you know, the excitement. And how long have you been doing this? And you still get excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. We've only been doing this for 10 years. I started with one buck and five does in 2010, and now we have probably close to 500 animals on the ranch, and it's an exciting thing. If you're a hunter and an outdoors person, I've hunted all my life. My father started me early on, and my son, who's 32 now, and he started when he was five or six with me, and he has two little boys now, and he's got them starting. He's out, the little guy, 3 years old, Sawyer's picking up fawns. Nice. With us last night and tagging them, and he's an amazing little guy. So it's a heritage thing that our family, and it's, you know, it's done, but it's exciting. You go from fawning, Duran, and then at the ranch, we start watching the bucks grow. And right now, all of our bucks are just really blossoming.
We're going to come back more with Gene Skiba here on Wild Michigan. Hold the line.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan spirit of the wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Well, Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Ted Nugent says he's not going to be touring around the world anymore. Going to stay right here in America. He says a little too weird out there, and he's getting older, believe it or not. And he said the touring thing, it's just kind of over, but he'll still tour the U.S. I'm Duran Martinez. Welcome to Wild Michigan, being brought to you by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. And I have Gene Skiba joining me here. He is with United Deer Farmers of Michigan, also the owner of Hunter's Haven Whitetail Ranch. He and his son Trent putting out some big whitetails. And we talked a little bit about genetics, about the big trophy whitetails. And you guys have a facility where you can hunt these beautiful, big, majestic deer, 500 acres. And Gene, again, another thing is people think this is like shooting fish in a barrel, which I don't see that realistically being easy already. But when you have 500 acres, that's a pretty big piece of property. And when you have woods and all of the other structures around there, I can't imagine this is a see 'em all the time thing anyway.
No, it isn't, Duran, and it's great to explain that, because a lot of people do have that misconception. High fence hunting is probably the most exciting time and things for most people, and we've had lots of folks come into our ranch and look at the facility, and they don't see a deer on a ride, and they go, "Where's all the deer that you're talking about?" And these are wild animals. Mother Nature kicks in. Even if you bottle feed a deer, a buck fawn or a doe fawn, in about 6 months, that critter is wild. So our high fence facility is located right outside of Gaylord in Johannesburg. And like you said, it's 500 acres. It's high fenced. Once you enter the ranch, and we have a beautiful lodge that we have on a pond that we have fish in, and you can see animals in the fields and things. But once you enter that, you never see the fence again. And quite frankly, if you're hunting a specific animal, and let's just say that you and I want to go out and we want to kill this 200-inch whitetail buck that we've seen and we've got video of and we've got trail cam pictures, you and I might hunt him, Duran, and it might take us 4 or 5 days to pattern him and find out where he's going to be, and we can hunt him. We can hunt him with bow. We can hunt him with a rifle. We can do ground stalking. We can do blind. Anything as you can do in the wild. The most exciting part of this whole thing is you're going to be able to see a lot of animals, a lot of bucks, and you're going to see the animal naturally handling his lifestyle. You're going to see him scraping. You're going to see him chasing. You're going to see him, pounding down does. He's going to set up on a doe in the fall, and he'll lock her down for hours, and you can watch all that. And it's so exciting to be able to offer that to people, because most of us never get to see that. Most of us never get to see the bucks fight and rattle and horns. Most of us never see the buck breed the doe in the fall. So we offer all kinds of that. We have a great facility. We have overnight accommodations. We have wonderful, wonderful home-cooked meals. You come in, you're a part of our family, and we offer that starting in August. We spoke a little bit about that earlier, but we offer, beautiful, beautiful velvet hunts. We actually have guys coming from Pike County, Illinois, which is the whitetail world, and they're coming to hunt velvet bucks in our ranch. And most of our folks that come and hunt with us on the ranch, they leave as friends and they come back many times. And we love to welcome that. We even show people, if you've never seen a whitetail ranch, we welcome anybody to come and see us. No charge. Come on in. We'll take you for a ride. We'll show you everything that we have on the facility.
Hunter's Haven Whitetail, whitetails.com is where you can find that. We'll put a link up on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Gene, there, when I first was approached by Doug about bringing you guys on, he's like, you're going to catch some flack for this. And this. Frankly, I don't care. My job is to bring things into light that are out there, and look, there's a lot of misconceptions. I personally have never hunted whitetails on a high fence facility. I have nothing against it. I mean, to each their own. This is absolutely one of those things. I did hunt a wild boar on one when we filmed a TV show, and it wasn't like I thought it was going to be, where we're just going to go out, pick something, and shoot it. It wasn't anything like that. As a matter of fact, it was a spot and stalk hunt that turned out to be quite exciting. And it was, it changed my mind about that, and that's why I wanted to bring you guys in here and on, is so we could take those myths and those rumors and kind of dispel what's going on. Yes, there are big antler deer. There are some of the non-typicals. There are typicals, And I'm sure it does get expensive, but, you know, this is all about what you want to do, okay? America, freedom first. I'm just going to leave it right there for that.
Yep. United Deer Farmers of Michigan, which is a great, great organization, and I joined it early on when I became a deer farmer in 2010. It's a group of folks that will help you. They'll give you advice. They offer every kind of possible training and information that's needed. If you just want to be a simple deer farmer, United Deer Farmers of Michigan, and I say simple, that means if you have 20 acres in a nice spot and you live and you want to raise white-tailed deer and you enjoy doing that, God love you, and you've got the right to do it, and you can get a license, and you can get deer, and you can feed them and bottle feed them and sell them. A lot of the farmers, there's 400 and some odd ranches last count in the state of Michigan, so there's a lot of deer farmers. Some people raise the animals to sell them to other preserves to hunt. Some people raise them for breeding. Some people raise them for the venison. There's all kinds of uses. Nothing goes to waste. Doug Roberts, our president, he does a great job. Conquest Scents, they raise them for the scent and the attraction. Nothing goes to waste. But I think the myth also, Duran, that is scary is people think that, you know, these are freaks and these are just absolutely normal, great whitetail animals. Yeah, they do get big. We do age them. We do have genetics. But people say, my goodness, how do you get bucks so big? How do you get them so good? Genetics, nutrition. Genetics and nutrition. And that's the key. And, you know, in some states, they let animals grow longer. They don't harvest them at 1.5. And, you know, you start looking at a 3.5 and a 4.5-year-old deer on one of our preserves, you know, that critter is going to be a monster. And it's exciting. United Deer Farmers of Michigan gives everybody the opportunity to try that if they want to. They also, you know, we got to make sure that we get our rights, and you mentioned it. Sometimes people want to shut things down. Some people don't agree with everything, but we have rights and regulations, and the United Deer Farmers helps with that also in that avenue, in that respect. So great organization, a great bunch of people. And every year we have an annual convention at the Soaring Eagle in Mount Pleasant where you and I met.
Yes.
And we raised funds to be able to continue to do the education process and also to maintain and keep, you know, the deer farming business alive. It's a very, very thriving, very, very impressive number when you look at what the Michigan Deer Farmers does and spend and what happens to the funds and how many people we bring in and sales and people we employ. It's a mind-boggling thing. A lot of people have no idea. You know, people meet me and they say, you're a deer farmer? I'm a car dealer too, but I'm a deer farmer. And they say, well, I've never met a deer farmer, and it's sort of an exciting time for everybody.
Well, Gene, and I tell you what, and I appreciate you coming on here, and the one thing we didn't really get to mention because we're just about out of time here is the amount of work and money you put into the research of chronic wasting disease. The truth about CWD.com is the website to find out what the United Deer Farmers of Michigan are putting together. This is something that affects not only the wild herd, but you guys. And again, you guys are looked at upon, you know, with the CWD issue very differently than what happens in the wild. And again, you guys are spending a lot of money in research with that, which I want to get to in another show. But, man, I tell you, I've learned a lot about deer farming in Michigan and with what you guys do. And I think it really sheds a lot of light on stuff, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate the opportunity, and I welcome you to come and visit us anytime. And if you do come, then you have a little better understanding of how you can explain and talk to people about the deer farming. But we would gladly invite you to come or any of your listeners. If they want to see us, huntershavenwhitetail.com. We'll show them the ranch. There's no charge. United Deer Farmers of Michigan has a great website. And if you want to call either Doug Roberts or myself, we can give you a hand there. It's been exciting. I'd love to talk to you again, Duran.
Absolutely. We definitely look forward to it. And I know where your place is at. I've actually seen it from a distance. And, you know, when I was up elk hunting with Ernie Pruskevich up there, somebody that we mutually have in common. That was a great time in my life. Man, it's been a great opportunity to have you here on the show. Gene Skiba, I will let you get back to your busy life as a car dealer as well, sir.
Thank you, sir. We'll call you again. Just let me know when, and have a great day.
You as well. Thanks so much. Gene Skiba joining us here Vice President, United Deer Farmers of Michigan, Hunter's Haven Whitetail Ranch. Looking forward to learning more about them in the days to come, weeks to come. Also, want to thank our friends at Conquest Sense. We'll be talking with Doug Roberts in the next segment. Notjustguns.com and ConquestSense.com. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.